Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Are you struggling to lower your bad LDL cholesterol, even though you may be taking a statin, swapping steaks for salads, and exercising while listening to this podcast? Ask your doctor if Repatha Evolocumab is right for you. With Repatha, you can dramatically reduce bad cholesterol and the risk of another heart attack while enjoying life too, because you're human. And with convenient self-administration, you can take Repatha in the comfort of your own home. Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Repatha can cause serious allergic reactions. Signs include trouble breathing or swallowing, or swelling of the face. Most common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. Visit Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA. Talk to your doctor today about Repatha.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Our college baseball ranking show is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at UnderdogFantasy.com using promo code TCESGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Am I frozen? I'm frozen.
All right, what's going on, everybody? College baseball fans tuning in just now. We're having a little bit of technical difficulties with our guy Matt Grissom, freezing, but we were able to hear his audio still. What's going on? Today, I'm the host. Who knows? We're trying out a brand new idea, and I hate that I have to explain this without Grissom being in the studio. We'll see how fast we can get him back in here. But right now, I'm your acting host, Noah Bienick, a.k.a. 77, from the College Baseball Experience. Here we go with Grissom back. There we are. Your picture was frozen. We could still hear you. So, like I said at the top, I'm the acting host as of right now for this episode. I'm joined by NCAA Insider's Matt Grissom. You can follow him on Twitter at Grissom on X. And I'm also joined by Johnny Venezia, Johnny VTV with an underscore in front of that on X and Twitter as well. All right, here's the deal. We are 12 weeks into the college baseball season. The idea kind of came to us spur of the moment this weekend, Friday night, no fucking gambling lines, which has pissed us off for probably a month straight now. On Friday nights, the books seem to be like they're waiting for results to finish before they pump out lines, and even so they're putting them out in the middle of the afternoon or the middle of the morning on Saturday. So we have no way of making content. We're starving to do something. We are just spitting hot takes in our group chat nonstop, and us on the College Football Experience, College Basketball Experience, we always view people that only focus on the 3 foot deep pool as TMZ. If you're only touching on the SEC, the ACC, the Power Five, be it in college basketball, college football, college baseball, we've labeled them as TMZ. But here in college baseball, there really isn't a TMZ. You don't have ESPN networks. You don't have an MLB network discussing college baseball 24/7, giving you content to go through when you don't have lines to be handicapping. So we're here attempting to be that. We're not going 10 feet deep into the pool. We're hitting the 3 feet deep, but we're going to attempt to give you takes on, you know, nationally relevant games, series, topics. Today, we're going to touch on a couple of the biggest outcomes from Sunday, from the weekend, and we're also going to go over each of our top eight rankings, whether it be power rankings, whether you think it's their standings as they currently sit. We all have probably a different definition of how we're doing it. I'm going to open up the stage now. We're going to start with Grissom because spontaneous, off the rip, literally probably 45 minutes ago, he's like, I'm ready to do this. We don't even have a name for this show. But Grissom was just like, let's shoot the shit. What's going on, Matt?
Well, I'm sulking in our series loss against Kentucky. I have had Kentucky fans in my mentions for the last month, thanks to Q, just really not buying into this team. I actually gave him a lot of credit, and then Tennessee came to town and whooped that ass, and I hope we can cuss on this podcast because
you can
a lot of it. They handled them, and it was tight. I mean, it was a – I don't think Kentucky was like a, oh, we're so overrated. They hung with Tennessee, but Tennessee proved to be the better team. Fast forward a couple weeks, and I think Kentucky had dropped another series. Arkansas comes to town. It's during the Kentucky Derby. There were virtually no Kentucky fans behind home plate. Like, that was pathetic. We took care of business with Hagan Smith on the bump Friday and then just completely fell asleep. Our bats didn't wake up at all till like it was too little too late in game three. Mason Molina, Brady Tigert, who have been, you know, anchors of our starting rotation that we've depended on, they both looked really bad to the point where, like, now it almost looks like, all right, maybe against better teams, our three aces aren't good. And maybe we just have one ace in Hagan Smith with a couple average arms. You look around the SEC, there's comparable pitchers to Brady Tigert, Mason Molina's stats. Gabe Yackel came in. He finally got used, but the game was out of hand at that point. So very, very questionable calls. I didn't really like or understand Parker Rowland getting the DH spot. You're going to get our third string catcher who's batting 250, the DH over Nolan Souza, the freshman. Didn't make any sense to me. I feel like Dave Van Horn was very, like, okay with losing this series too in the post game, which really pissed me off as a fan because I'm like, well, I wouldn't have bet you today had I known that you were just okay. And, like, he's not one to make excuses, but that was one of the first things he said was, you know, like, we played two midweek games against Missouri State. 2 weeks ago, we played two against Texas Tech. Like, we've played whatever it was, 14 games over the last 3 weeks, and it's a lot. I get that, but that doesn't mean you come no-show on the road, my opinion.
So Grissom's had a lot of pent-up aggravation with the Hogs, as we can tell. I asked him about kind of, you know, introing maybe to this style of content that we're doing, and it goes right into the Hogs series that we're going to talk about in a little bit. Johnny, I'll come back to Grissom on, you know, kind of his opinions on doing this style of content. Johnny, we were talking offline prior to the hitting record. Your opinion on doing this as a group, as content, while we don't really have much betting odds and lines to cover, and how'd your weekend go?
It was good. Overall successful. I mean, I lost a few parlays on one legs and a bunch of bullshit with your Arkansas Razorbacks today not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I mean, listen, I knew Kentucky was going to get one, but I kind of felt like, you know, it was most likely going to be Sunday. And Saturday was coming into the weekend. I thought Sunday was going to be Kentucky. Saturday was going to be Arkansas to take the series, especially when you get game one, you want to be able to close out and win one of the next two. And that's a big series because that's going to go a long way, possibly determining who wins the SEC regular champion. And then Troy couldn't finish the job today against ULL. But, you know, a team, and, you know, we'll get to the rest of the teams at some point throughout the show, but a team I was very disappointed in this week, I got to say, was Texas A&M. And, you know, A&M held the lead early on Friday. Ryan Prager was solid. He wasn't great, but he was solid. 5 innings, 2 runs, 2 walks, 5 Ks. Gave his team a chance to win. Couldn't hold the lead. And then Saturday, Justin Lampkin continues to struggle. 3 innings, 3 earned. They had an early lead. Three-run first inning. They can't hold the lead. And they drop a series at LSU. And, you know, remember what I said, LSU was a team that I thought was going to be good this year, and it's taken them a little while, but they're starting to heat up at the right time. But A&M needs to win that series. And, you know, they've, like Arkansas, have shown that they can struggle a little bit on the road. They're not executing. And I think for A&M in particular, the thing I was most concerned about them was their pitching. The starting rotation to me with the Saturday and Sunday with Tanner Jones, who also didn't pitch well today, he hasn't pitched well lately, and Lampkin is going to be a problem in the month of June. Ryan Prager, you know, most of the time you could pencil him as a Friday night W. That's fine. I have no issue with Ryan Prager. But it's Saturday and Sunday roll, kind of like Arkansas, where you have a legit Friday night guy that you feel great about every week. And then there's, you know, a lot of variance with the next two guys that you're throwing. But A&M has – that Arkansas doesn't is problems in the bullpen. And I think the worst part about the Aggies bullpen is you have Chris Cortez and Ashenbeck, who are two great relievers. Cortez was nailed today in relief, 4 1/3 scoreless. But for whatever reason, Schlossnagel just fails to use them in a proper way. And you have a couple other good guys like Shane Sedeo is pretty good. Brad Rudas is solid. And then the rest of them are terrible. But what Schlossnagel likes to do in these high-leverage game-deciding moments, like bases loaded, nobody out, you throw some slapdick freshman in who has 9 innings the whole year instead of throwing in one of his high-leverage relievers, which doesn't make sense. And I think it's going to pose a problem come June. And if A&M ultimately doesn't make a deep run, then I think that's one of the big reasons that we can point to why.
All right, we're just going completely – unorganized today, like no intros from everybody, anybody. Matt and Johnny were ready to go. I must have done a great job off the top. We already hit two of the series. Matt took care of Arkansas at Kentucky real quick for us. Johnny just talked about A&M at LSU. I'll highlight the third series that off the rip, the SEC ranked series that really kind of formulated a lot of opinions from this weekend. Vanderbilt got slaughtered by Georgia on the road again. Vanderbilt on the road has been terrible all season long. They, I think, only have 2 wins against teams with winning records on the road. And they were outscored this weekend 35-11 by the Bulldogs, who don't have a great pitching staff. That's been Georgia the entire season long. That was my takeaway here. Charlie Condon ties the BB Corps NCAA all-time record. By all-time, it's really only 12, 13 years. But holy shit, it feels like that's a hot bat. These baseballs are, a very nice batch. But all of a sudden, we are hitting home runs left and right with BB Corps bats. It's a very entertaining brand of baseball to watch. I'm not complaining about that at all. However, I'm a little bit salty as well, really kind of only single-shotting and sprinkling Peyton Tolley, but I single-shotted Caglione on Golden Spikes, and this is a much more competitive race in that awards market than I anticipated it to be, and it's because Charlie Condon, who wasn't even listed for the award when the market came out, is now the runaway favorite with 2 weekends to go in the regular season. It's been an outstanding and very memorable season put together by a guy in a Georgia lineup that is great. However, this Georgia team doesn't quite crack the teams that I think are like top end, legit, elite We're going to get to that later on in the show, but it's been a very impressive campaign from Condon for sure. Chat is rolling. We're connected to NCAA Insiders YouTube. We're connected to Johnny V's YouTube. We're connected to the College Baseball Experience YouTube and all of our Twitter accounts. The plan is that fantasy baseball group, that group chat has been alive and running the entire season long with takes being spit out left and right throughout the year. We just needed another platform, another show to be able to share some thoughts. I think this is going to be great as we go down the road to Omaha here. Final couple of weekends of the regular season, conference tournaments, and then the NCAA tournament coming up here down the road. Matt, your thoughts here. Take it either Texas A&M at LSU, Vanderbilt at Georgia, two of the other headline series that you have not talked about yet. Do you have anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, much of my frustration for Arkansas's result could be equated to Vanderbilt fans and Texas A&M. I mean, look, it's hard to win series on the road. We get it. That's been kind of an overplayed mantra. But the great teams, they usually figure it out. You can give up one. Like A&M, in my opinion, they should not have lost game one. That should have been Ryan Prager against Gage Jump. That's one that you can get. Yeah, you lose Luke Coleman game. That's fine. But, like, and I looked at somebody, I think Josh's comment, any tips on betting college baseball? Yeah, it. What's always worked for me is try to handicap the series. And based on who you think is going to win the series, bet day-to-day in that aspect. So, like, for Arkansas, I truly believed Arkansas was going to win that Kentucky series. Hagan Smith is money. Backed him Friday night. Big winner. Game two, that was the one I didn't know. Scale back my unit size. We lost that one. Well, guess what? I still think we're going to win the series, so I loaded up again for Sunday. It didn't happen. So sometimes it works out. Sometimes it doesn't. More often than not, if you can handicap and get the series prediction correct, you can win money along the way in doing that. And you look at a team like Georgia, who can really smash the ball. I'm not high on Vanderbilt. Thanks to Noah, I'm on the under 17.5 wins that for that cash team.
Today, by the way.
Hey, look at you. Thank you. But
we talked about that on the preseason breaking bet show, too.
And I remember appearing on that, too, baby.
I never thought that Vanderbilt had the bats to keep up with a team like Georgia. It showed this weekend. And I think that's, you know, you could look at a lot of these teams and say, yeah, they're probably a second-tier team for their conference. SEC's got a lot of them. But I think more than, you know, the past few years, we have a smaller team of actual contenders, in my opinion, which we'll get into in our power rankings. Like, there's some teams that may make it to Omaha, but I think you've got four teams that can win it all.
Off of this point, I have a discussion that I'd like to have with you guys right now, and I'm going to go to Johnny first for the answer, just to include him in the conversation. You say there's a shallow pool of national championship contenders. Does that help the field of 60 rather than the field of 64? Like, I think it helps the mid-majors of the world, the second-tier high-power conference teams of the world, where you don't have as much sharks in the water taking out the other good competitors, but they don't have three under five ERA starters in the weekend rotation. They don't have a bullpen that goes four arms, five arms deep. They don't have a lineup that goes six or seven kids that can hit 10 tanks in a season. Those teams now have a better chance of getting to Omaha. And when you get to Omaha, you have a chance to win the national championship. You go through the same format. You win the pool play double elimination 14 set. Then you win the best of three game series in the super regional. You do the same steps in the College World Series. It's just a bigger stage in Omaha. They've got a shot to do it. Johnny, your thoughts on that exact statement that I just made?
Dude, yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I was talking about preseason was I remember, and you guys should remember me saying this a lot, is the word parity. I believe parity was going to be key this year in college baseball. There was going to be no one standout. There was going to be no Wake Forest this year. There's going to be no Tennessee. from 2 years ago this year.
No, I felt LSU. Like
none of that. I felt like, you know, even the best teams are going to be good, but beatable. And I think that's why I had a lot of like Kansas State making the College World Series. I had Coastal making the College World Series because I thought a team like the Coastal Carolina, who's been disgusting, they've been dog shit the last 2 weeks. That was why they were going to be able to make a run, is because there was no Wake Forest or LSU taking everybody out along the way. And I think that that helped all these other teams, that helped everybody else. And I felt like this year, if there was a team like a Northeastern that we're really high on that could win, it's possible because there's nobody that's unbeatable. There's nobody that looks invincible. And, you know, that's why for my money, you know, I really started loading up on Florida State and Mississippi State throughout the last few weeks, because I'm like, I just don't see how teams like this who have real potential to make a run are going to be, you know, withheld, because I just don't know if I see a team that's that dominant. Like even at A&M, A&M's not that dominant. They're good, don't get me wrong. And, you know, a lot of the competition that they beat of note is at home, and they face Arkansas at home. And I would probably expect them to win that series at Arkansas in the final week. And even Arkansas, they're really good, but they're not unbeatable. Their offense is a huge problem. It's a huge clusterfuck. Last year's offense for Arkansas was 10 times better than what they've put on this year. I just feel like if you're looking at betting a team to win it all, and now with a lot of these odds on these teams have been absolutely crushed, you could still get value on a team like Florida State where they're hovering around 25-1 in certain markets, or Mississippi State. I think 100-1, they're still there at Bet Rivers, but there's 80-1 on them, 60-1. The Mississippi State is the team that I would circle big time. I hit them hard again recently and took 100-1 on them the other day, because I really think that if Gerangelo Sanja keeps pitching the way he is, he's the X factor of that team. Mississippi State is going to be a team we're going to be talking about playing in late June.
Yeah, I remember talking specifically to you, Johnny, in the middle of the season here around weekend five or weekend six. It's the year of the maroon team. We were talking about Texas A&M kind of being the dark horse top team in the nation. They turn out to be the number one team in the last couple of weeks here. Mississippi State and Florida State were coming on, and it turns out like they've just now had like two of their best weekends in a row. You know, Florida State 3 weekends ago, Wake Forest, they looked very good. They lost the series, though, because it was at Wake, but then they beat Duke at Duke. They looked very impressive those 2 weekends. And then Mississippi State, these last 2 weekends, Vanderbilt and Bama, they look impressive, too. There's different ways to attack that, too, because you mentioned that you're more ready to unload a clip on a couple of the teams. Me, personally, I'm a little bit passive on it. Like, I'm rather – I'd like to see the draw in the NCAA tournament bracket and look to bet most of these teams that I like game to game. And if there's a really good draw, like everybody talks about Oral Roberts last year being a super Cinderella, they didn't have to play an SEC team to get to Omaha. So they went through the Stillwater Regional, where they played Oklahoma State and Dallas Baptist and Washington. And then they played Oregon in the Super Regional, and they get to the College World Series. They didn't play an SEC team. That's not me saying SEC is all high and mighty, but they also didn't play an ACC team during that run. So
it's all about the draw. And, yeah, and you know, Noah, so, here's the thing, right? Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Here's the thing of that.
We're just shooting the shit. We're rambling, dude.
When you're betting futures, and you know, I get the I don't want to have 10, 15 teams on my portfolio, but this year, I learned from my Wake experience last year. Last year, one of my good friends and I, who this is all we do is bet college baseball, we talk about our bets. We had over 50K in equity that we would have won combined on Wake Forest. And we were riding them all season, preseason, to the finish line. And when they lost, and how they lost with a 2-game lead on LSU in the semifinals, that really hurt. And I had to learn that this year, aside from the fact that I don't think there is that Wake Forest type,
no.
The fact is you have to load up, because this sport is so chaotic, and so much of it depends on the draw, and the draws can go a lot of different ways based on many different scenarios. So the idea is to try and load up your portfolio, especially when you can get teams in the 50, 60 to one range and have a bunch of tickets at a low cost that you can get really good numbers on. And you have a lot of different avenues to create equity and make money. So for me this year, I have about 8 or 9 teams in my portfolio. So that way, okay, if a Coastal gets knocked out in the regionals, that's fine. I still have other ways of making money. I have Duke. I just invested on Dallas Baptist because they were 75-1. Maybe DBU gets in a good regional and they can move to a super. And then they play a team like, I don't know, DBU plays a team like Florida State. But I have money on Florida State as well. You know what I'm saying? So definitely don't be afraid to add teams. It's kind of hard now because you're not getting as good of numbers. Like the Florida State numbers are gone. Not almost gone. Duke's basically gone. East Carolina's almost gone. So that's why it's important to you know, round out your portfolio and diversify it so you have a lot of options.
Grissom, your thoughts on this conversation that, you know, Johnny and had for the last 4 minutes here on the show?
Yeah, I'm just
the four elite class. Teams. I know. So are you taking the four elite teams over the field of 60? Do you think because they are at another established level than perceived the rest of the field, does that help the four, or does that help the other 60 get to have a shot to knock them off? And secondly, how do you attack it in the futures market?
I mean, I think you have to hold two thoughts in your head at the same time. Yeah, it helps the four, because I don't think trying to beat at one of the elite teams at home as a super regional host, that's going to be tough. Now, regionals, you know, when there's a little bit more parity involved, I feel like it's all going to be luck of the draw. You look back last year, like Kentucky, they were a pretty decent team until they had to go to Baton Rouge in the super regional. They weren't beating LSU in a 3-game series. Same goes for who were y'all just talking about? Oral Roberts. They get through that gauntlet of a regional with a lot of teams that could hit and pitch, but then they get lucky and get to play Oregon instead of Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt just completely shit the bed. So you don't really know what's going to happen. You've got to take regional round separate from the super regional round. But on the flip side, for the team of, or for the field of 60, I mean, they have the potential just to really cannibalize each other, where you could get some really good odds on the 3 and 4 seed, depending on the matchup. And that's what I'm so excited about, like with this website, where people can go on and project these matchups. And because I think you'd be surprised, it was like last year, Penn looked really good against, they were the 4 seed.
They knocked off Southern. They knocked off Auburn.
They were 10-1 to to win that regional. That was a fun ticket to sweat. But you know, if you're also betting the run line or money line game to game, like that's fun. And I feel like this year it's going to be even more of that. So, it's going to be good for the dogs, I feel like. And then at the end of it, the cream's going to rise to the top, and it's going to be the same 4 teams. Which, I mean, you could say the same case for last year.
Yeah, it happens in most years.
It was the hottest team, which was TCU, and then it was Wake, Florida, and LSU.
Yeah, and those were LSU 3 teams that were in the top 8 in the preseason. Yeah,
exactly. So
I like the point that you made, though. Like, the other 60 are going to cannibalize themselves, and you didn't quite hit to the point that I'm going to make here. That's going to make the to appear in the college World Series market a hell of a lot more enticing this year. We're going to take a break from this conversation. I'm going to talk to you guys about Underdog Fantasy, and we'll jump into our power rankings here, because I think there's going to be plenty of discussion that we'll be able to jump off from team to team during that portion of this show. NBA playoffs are here. Our sponsor over the College Baseball Experience, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it a lot more interesting. Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick 'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your other favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30-plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Personally, I was writing nightly articles during the college basketball season, hitting at 62%. When you're winning money, it's a ton of fun. They had these out nightly for the College World Series last year. I cannot wait for the NCAA tournament this year. Hopefully they'll expand it a little bit. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and Canada. They also just launched their Champions, which is their player to player format in Florida. Make sure you sign up with code TCE SGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code TCE SGPN.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
And all right. So I think this conversation is going to create a lot of different talking topics as we go 1 through 8. So we're basically giving each other's different ways of deciphering national seed list. Top 8. First off, who wants to go first? Do we have to draw a short straw? Oh, Johnny's volunteering. Here we go. All right, Johnny, before you get to your list, explain to us how you did it. Eye test? Did you go through some resumes? Is it off of recent form? Is it off of, you know, team talent? Is it off of some of their team stats? How did you do it? What are your 8 teams? Let's go 8 through 1. Be ready to defend an opinion or two if Grissom or I stop you.
Yeah. Okay. So basically why I have the rankings the way I have them coming into today is based on what the rankings were coming into this weekend, what I saw eye test wise, results wise. And I feel like that gives us, or me at least, a really good opportunity to defend my ranking system. So number one, you know, Arkansas and A&M, it's a rare weekend that they both lose, both have tough road tests, and they lose 2 of 3. So they're both out. We got a new number one. It's back to the old days of 2022 and the Tennessee Volunteers were running point. I think it's fair to say that the Vols should be number one this week. I feel like they've earned it. And I do think I would be fair to say that it's hard to defend anybody else being number one right now.
Can I argue you since you're going we were going to go 8 through 1, but you're going with number one. I don't hate it, but I have a different number one.
Clemson.
I have Clemson. The reason why I don't have Tennessee, is that the hot take here or a take? Because I don't think it's hot. Tennessee, in my opinion, coming into the year, Tennessee had one of the weakest SEC schedules. Is that fair to say? And in my opinion. Tennessee's best win is at Kentucky. That's their best win solo. their best series wins at Kentucky. But can I go through their other series wins? They beat Ole Miss, but they lost one of those three games. That was at home. They beat Georgia. They lost one of those three games. That was also at Lindsey Nelson. They lost one to Auburn. Auburn, one of Auburn's three or four wins this season was to Tennessee. That was Tennessee on the road. When you hit the road in college sports, you lose. They beat LSU. They beat Kentucky 2-3 on the road. They swept Missouri. That's what you're supposed to do in the SEC. I don't give you a tap on the back for that. They lose 1-3 at Florida. To me, that's not tremendous. When we're talking just overall on the road, Tennessee 7-5, non-conference schedule 143. Clemson's non-conference strength of schedule 14th. On the road this season, they're 9-4. And they have two wins against South Carolina. They have a series win at Duke. They swept Florida State. That's my number one team in the country right now.
Okay, well, so here's the thing. Clemson and Tennessee are on the same par where they really haven't played anybody. Clemson, they had two really good series wins, and it's very disappointing because I would say Duke probably should have won that Clemson series. Duke on that Sunday game had an opportunity, and they were dicking around and didn't get it done. So, yeah, Clemson did win, but that's one where I felt like Duke should have won. And then that Florida State one, I felt like Florida State lost that. Florida State should have swept Clemson instead of the other way around. Florida State blew a 4-run lead on Friday, and they blew a 7-run lead in game two, and I think like a 6-run lead in game three. You don't win those games in college baseball by when you have a deficit that big. The other team has to lose it. And I think while it goes out as a W, you know, yeah, it's a huge, it's exactly a great point. They have lived by being the cardiac Clemson Tigers. That cannot hold up over an entire season into the postseason. You know, you need to be able to come back. That's important. But like, when you depend on that, then it's a problem. And I think the Florida State series was very lucky. Like on paper, they swept them. Yeah, no, it is because
is it not a testament to a deep lineup and a good bullpen though that they're able
are,
to
but, no they
stable
are
stable off an early blow by the opponent and they're able to come back and win.
Well, they didn't do it against NC State, which was probably their worst series loss. They lost that 4-0. So
and what happened? Didn't happen.
They lost to Miami. Okay, they sweep Notre Dame. That's what you're supposed to do.
I
they
think this Wake Forest series next weekend is going to tell us a lot.
Oh, it's going to be so Clemson. Fun. I can't wait.
They beat Pitt. They beat Louisville. They actually had a comeback on that Friday night game against Louisville that they probably should have lost. They won 12-11. And then they just beat Georgia Tech. Like that's not that impressive. The Wake Forest one is, you know, relatively difficult. Chase Burns Friday night. That one's on the road. But, you know, we're sitting here saying Clemson number one, and it's not like they have an impossibly difficult schedule. They do have some pretty good wins for sure, but so does Tennessee. And I don't think you can go wrong by saying Clemson's one. That's your opinion. I feel like that's fair to defend. Their pitching has been really good this year. It's startling and surprising to me how good it's been. Would put Clemson as two.
I think you have to make the decision who is better overall, the ACC or the SEC.
Yeah.
Because I think Clemson and Tennessee are the same team in two different conferences. I think the SEC is far and away better.
It's fair.
That's why I feel like Tennessee's got to be number one.
Can you pick out a second series win that can match? So, like, they have the series win at Kentucky. Can they match at Duke and against Florida State? A sweep against
them. I have to go.
Think they can.
I don't think you have to, though. But
I mean, LSU. I would think
great
LSU.
About opinion.
If LSU and Duke played in a series, I think LSU would win. If Duke and Florida played in a series, I think Florida would win.
Clemson played Duke, you're telling me Duke is losing to LSU at that time period? LSU's not winning that series.
Come on, dude. Stop. I mean,
they played.
It would have been Santucci against Holman.
a Georgia series win's tough. Georgia's going to be – Georgia might be inside the top 15 tomorrow.
Yeah, now we're getting to picking apples and oranges here. Like, opinions are great. That's why we're doing this exercise, because it's fun and we can
– Hey, they both have big series next week.
And we can make some clips, and it gives us content to talk about.
At Vanderbilt.
The next 10 days for Clemson, we can talk about Tennessee in a second. For Clemson, because I have their schedule right in front of me. They're at Charlotte, sure, okay. But they go three games at Wake Forest, and they also go at Coastal Carolina. Like, that's going to be a lot for your pitching staff in 10 days. We'll see how Clemson holds up. What's Tennessee's schedule coming up here?
At Vandy. Then close with South Carolina at home.
Yep.
Two top tier.
Two decent opponents. And Josh, throw Josh's question up there, because I've got to respond. He said, also, the SEC isn't far and away better. That's not what I mean. I mean, you take the four best teams in the SEC and the four best teams in the ACC – the four best teams in the SEC are far and away better than you could come up. Now, if you lowered the sample size and said two and two,
correct,
it's tighter. But I think top to bottom, the SEC is better.
What would you say top 10? If you eliminate Ole Miss, Auburn, Missouri, Florida, those four compared to the SEC with Notre Dame, Pitt, who is even at the bottom outside of Notre Dame and Pitt?
Maybe Georgia Tech.
No, Georgia Tech's hot right now. Clemson just stopped it, but to this point, like, they had won four series in a row.
Okay. Georgia
Miami, BC.
Georgia is the sixth best team in the SEC.
And they're fifth in the RPI right now.
They're probably the third best team in the ACC.
Josh Deepin, he says Florida State destroyed Florida, but Florida State right now, top two team in the ACC. Florida, they're outside of the top 10 currently.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point about weeding them out a little bit, but I agree. I think the top tier of the SEC is better than the top tier of the ACC. The ACC catches up if you deepen the sample size or if you shallow it up. That's how I think it goes. Johnny, your number two team in your power rankings here.
Number two team is going to be Clemson. I think Clemson and Tennessee, you know, we talked about it, right on par. Three, because A&M is – what?
Oh, go.
No, because – So, Chris,
your number two team, how did you formulate rankings?
I also went with Clemson.
How did you decipher your top eight?
Based on a combination of eye test and strength schedule, who they've beaten. I mean – overall, it's kind of like what we just talked about. I think SEC is better. So I think clearly you're one and two are Tennessee and Clemson. Now, from there, have to decide who in your opinion, is better and who would win that game. And I think Tennessee would beat Clemson.
I agree with how Grissom kind of went with his rankings. I went with eye test. I went with road record. I went with strength of schedule and series wins. All right, Johnny, your third ranked team here, because my number two is Tennessee.
Okay, so I'm going to go with A&M as the third, because A&M's been number one for the last few weeks, last month. They've been ahead of Arkansas, and I do think that A&M should stay ahead of Arkansas, you know, because even though there are problems, in my opinion, in the A&M pitching department, whether that be in the bullpen or the second and third starting members of the staff, their offense is legit. They have the best 1-3 in the country. And the rest of their lineup has really, really improved and rounded out. And so I would put them, A&M, third, with Arkansas being four.
All right. I have A&M three, but I would like to play a little game. Grissom, who do you have three?
I have East Carolina.
Wow.
All right, we got to talk about East Carolina now then before I get to my game on Texas A&M. So what's the opinion on the Pirates? Because I'm sure Colby would love to hear.
I mean, I know they beat South Florida in a series 2-1. That's not great, but I don't think you can take them down, and I'm stuck in this. Do you put Kentucky 3, A&M 4, Arkansas 5, and then punish East Carolina for winning a series? So I ultimately, I just said, you know what? It the A&M Arkansas series is going to decide itself. Let's throw the Pirates in at three, and then we can rank everybody else after that that didn't take care of business this weekend.
Colby, who's a freedom rider for the Pirates, is going to hate that I bring this up, but can I talk you out of East Carolina at three?
Talk me out of it. I think it's doable, but you know, shout out Jeff Dawson. I said it on his show the other day. Treya Savage and Zach Root are, I mean, they're up there with, as far as a 1-2 tandem, like they're a legit pitching staff. Their question mark was hitting, but they've really figured it out here lately. I think their weighted runs created has jumped up over 120. It was like under 100 for the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season, and they dropped series. Their bullpens were just giving it away. I feel like they've figured it out, and they continue to win. So can't really punish them for winning a series that they're supposed to win when you've got Power Five schools that just didn't and didn't look good doing it.
I agree with you in that point. However, I might say that or question why you have them that high in the first place. Because I will say East Carolina, I love the mid-majors, and I am a huge fan of the Pirates, and my co-host went to East Carolina. However, they don't have the same amount of opportunities to have a rough weekend as some of these other top teams do. They go on the road. So here are their road series. That's a huge thing that I take into account. They go on the road at Liberty, who has a losing record, and they sweep. They go on the road at UTSA, who's 27-20 this season. They lose 2 of 3. They go on the road at Florida Atlantic. They win 2 of 3, but they still lose a game to a team that's 155th in the RPI and 23-22. They go on the road at Memphis. They sweep against a team that's 21-27. That's the road series this season. The other games that they hit the road are the midweeks, which everybody knows they're the midweeks. They're not top three starting pitchers most of the time. So I guess that's my opinion on ECU. Crutch asks, any stock put into if they play on a neutral, who wins? I took a quick look at my entire list here, and I would take every one of the teams that I have ranked in front of the other to win on a neutral. So I would say, yes, that applies to my list as well.
So I would say no in mine, because East Carolina, that's the problem with, are we going with most deserving or are we going with best? So like East Carolina, like I was saying, you can't.
That's why I asked about the rankings, how you came up with them at the beginning.
Yeah. And so I was going off of D1 having them fifth going into it and what I thought the rankings would be tomorrow when they come out. So like me personally, I would be of the opinion East Carolina, as much as it would suck to bump them back, they, based on their strength of schedule, I would have to bump them back.
Okay. So you are bumping them back here live on the show.
I mean, but that there would mean go. I've got to put Kentucky.
We won.
We're going Kentucky, Kentucky, Arkansas, Texas A&M then.
All right.
As 3, 4, 5.
Texas A&M is my third ranked team. However, I wanted to play this little game about Texas A&M. Who's their best win? Can I ask you guys A&M's best win this season?
Okay. So listen, it's a double-edged sword because –
right,
Arkansas and A&M both had the benefit of not playing Tennessee. Tennessee had the benefit of not playing Arkansas or A&M. So, like, is it bad scheduling?
It's the luck of the draw with the SEC scheduling.
Exactly. Exactly.
Is it so luck of the draw, or is it by design too? That's the other thing.
But
those are all
I
the top teams in the SEC. This is something that Colby goes through on football. The top teams in the SEC don't play each other every other year. It's like 3 or 4 years difference. We don't get Tennessee, Arkansas every single year. The SEC just doesn't slate up Vitello and Dave Van Horn up against each other. I'm like, because for whatever reason. But
let me,
Johnny,
tell you, I would much rather play Texas A&M right now than Tennessee.
I don't know. Like, I would say Tennessee wins that game against Texas A&M, but I'm not comfortable saying that.
But even Tennessee is not that good because their offense is
number one team. Even Tennessee is not that good.
Let me explain why. Their offense is elite. Their offense might be better than the 2022 version, but their pitching is not that good.
No.
Their pitch, like when you consider what their pitching was 2 years ago, where they had four legitimate number one starters, four guys that could have been an ace on almost any team in the country, it's miles away from where it is now. They're throwing Chris Stamos on Friday nights. AJ Russell, I don't know when he's coming back. He's been hurt. AJ Causey's been okay. He's been pulled out of the rotation, basically. Drew Beam's not the same guy that he was 2 years ago, even last year. So their pitching is significantly worse.
Excuse me. Causey and Stamos are piggybacking each other.
Stamos is the opener
than Causey.
Yeah, but that's not a Chase Burns. That's not a Chase Dollinger. It's not a Blake Tidwell.
Allow him to talk shit on the Vols for a second.
I'm giving an honest point. Like Tennessee's problem is going to be the lack of pitching, consistent pitching. When they don't have
a lack of pitching. They don't have the top three that
their supposed ace hasn't pitched like it this year. Beam's been solid, but he hasn't been great. He hasn't been every time out there. He's nails. He's given his team a chance to win. There's been a lot of games where he's just been a complete no-show.
I think their supposed ace is hurt right now. All right. Top number four, everybody read off their third ranked team. We're pinched on time for a little bit at the end of the show. I got to get out here at 11. Number four for Johnny. Go ahead.
I gave you my four. I gave you Arkansas as my four. Arkansas. So in an effort just to speed this up, let me just
get
the rest of my eight out here. Five, I'm going four is Arkansas. Five's Kentucky. They got the win this weekend in the series. That's an important win, even though it was at home. Every time they get a fucking big series, they're always playing at home. They've never had to go on the road this year for a big series. Luck of the draw. But, you know, they got the win, so I'd slot them at five. Six, I really like Florida State. Seven, East Carolina. And I'd probably, if I'm being 100% honest, I'd probably have to put – I'm going to put my Duke Blue Devils number eight.
Okay. I don't have a problem with it. My four and five is flipped. I'm just going to go out here and say it. Like, I valued head-to-head record, and Kentucky won that series against Arkansas. So I know it was at home. That was your point. Yes, they've hosted some of their biggest series of the season. They've lost series on the road that aren't quite as big. That's the knock on Kentucky. But right now I'm valuing that they beat Arkansas two out of three. Grissom, you're 4 or 5.
Yeah, I would be Kentucky, Arkansas.
Okay, yeah, so it was the same. Finish it out with your 6, 7, 8 here, like Johnny just did.
Texas A&M, Oregon State, Florida State. And I think the reason Texas A&M gets put behind Kentucky and Arkansas is you just lost to LSU, who's not ranked, who's proved this season they are not very good. I mean, here 2 weeks ago, they were on the cusp of missing the SEC tournament, and now they have pulled off a big series win over A&M, who, yeah, they finally may have shown that they peaked too soon. I don't know. I'm not ready to, like, say A&M's not the best team in college baseball because they were number three in hitting and number four in pitching. Like, they're a very well-balanced team. But Tennessee is number 7th in pitching and 2 in offense. So, I mean, Tennessee, number one. From there, the rankings don't matter at this point because in 2 weeks.
They're just fun to talk about.
Yeah, because in 2 weeks, like, I think so much is still left to be determined in these two series. So, like, I think at the end of the day, you're going to get some Texas A&M, Arkansas, Tennessee, Clemson. There's your top four, however you want to sort it out. But I do like Johnny putting Duke in because I'm high on Duke. The problem is they beat up on Longwood this weekend.
I can't wait till I get to my eighth team here that I'm about to read off to you guys. Six, I have East Carolina. Again, I don't hate East Carolina. I found ways to not fit them into my top five. Seven, North Carolina. East Carolina's got the head-to-head series victory over North Carolina. I have the Pirates 6. I have the Tar Heels 7. And to route it out, I have the Oklahoma Sooners at 8. They just went on the road and they swept Texas Tech in Lubbock. That was impressive enough to me, but they've also swept.
Texas Tech is not good.
But Lubbock is a tough place to win. They go on the road, they sweep TCU, they sweep BYU. They're 14-4 on the road this season. Oklahoma's looked very impressive lately.
Yeah, not to be number eight. That's hosting a super regional round.
Where do you put him, babe? Where do you put
Lamar? Lamar swept Oklahoma.
Lamar might be legit.
That keeps you from being top 10 forever this season.
Lamar might be legit. I've got some news for you.
Now, Austin Peay's legit if we're talking about like one of these slapdick mid-major programs.
Did Austin Peay win that series?
Austin Peay's legit. Oklahoma eight is ridiculous. You're giving me shit about Clemson versus Tennessee one. Meanwhile, you got Oklahoma eight hosting a super regional by that margin. Absolutely no. I probably put Oklahoma's been impressive. They've been a lot better than I thought I'd be. I'm actually surprised. I don't know how they're good this year. I just don't feel like they're any kind of reminiscent of the 2022 team where they had legitimate stars, but I would probably put Oklahoma somewhere inside, I would say, the top 18, 17. I feel like they're really good. Like, the team that made a big jump for me this week is going to be Mississippi State. I've got Mississippi State broaching the top 12.
Yeah, I do too, for what it's worth. I love Mississippi State this year. So that's gonna about wrap it up for this show. I think this was a tremendous attempt at a first episode of whatever we're going to call this, whatever this is going to end up being when it's all said and done. We have a week to talk about it. We'll be back. Our plan is Friday night, if there's no betting odds, we will be on discussing this type of shit Friday night without betting odds. And we'll for sure be here Sunday night to recap some of the top series bullshit and do whatever we just did. But before we get out of here, I have to plug it. Here on TCE's YouTube, the College Experience, we're beginning a new episode, a new podcast called Stadium Heads. It's featuring Colby Dant, a.k.a. Pig Dundee, and Michael Barker, who is College Football Campus Tour. You can find him on Twitter. He's absolutely huge. He went to 93 college football games this season. It's a ridiculous number, but if you follow him on Twitter, you'll believe it with all the content that he's posting. Grissom and Johnny, thank you very much for joining me. One sentence before we get out of here from both of you. Johnny, go ahead.
For Angelo Senja, he's taking Mississippi State to the chip, Daddy. Daddy's been light years ahead.
Grissom, he muted himself before I think he was done. Go ahead.
We'll see. They face Arkansas this weekend and at Bomb Walker. That's going to be a must-win series for the Hogs. So we'll see how good Gerangelo Cinchi is this weekend. All right, Johnny really likes to pronounce pitchers' names wrong.
It's Gerangelo Sanja. That one is correct. That's correct. Cinchi. They have a whole pronunciation.
If you read the pronunciation, it's Sanja. And I also think it's Gerangelo and not Gerangelo. But
I watch every one of his starts. They say Gerangelo Sanja. You're saying Gerangelo Cinchi,
he's from the islands. He's Hispanic. Those J's are pronounced like H's. I think it's Gerangelo. But thank you for joining us in this brand new expedition, whatever we're going to call this.
I hope y'all enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed doing this. This is going to come back. Adios, amigos.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hey, parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity, set up chores, and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.